It's Nuggets Talk with Altitude Sports Katie Wenge on the Jim Davis Show.
And we welcome in on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, Katie Wenge. Katie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Jim. How are you doing?
Always doing well over on our side of the hill. Weather's beautiful today. Living over in God's country, can't go wrong with it. You can ask Connor McGahee what it's like to live on the Western Slope, but I'm sure things are great on your side of the hill today as well. Hey, congratulations to Michael Malone. He was named the Western Conference Coach of the Month. Here's the thing I didn't realize. The Nuggets have not had a coach win that award since George Karlin, 2013. That says a lot about the job that Michael Malone's doing right now.
Yeah, and I guess to be honest with you, I think about Coach Malone's time with the Nuggets, and I guess it says a lot about, one, how underrated or under the radar the Nuggets have flown, but also just how other teams around the NBA have had good coaches step in too, because what Coach Malone has done with the Nuggets over not only the time that he's been there, but especially with Jamal going out recently, I mean, it had to have garnered national attention. What he's doing and the way the Nuggets are playing and the way that Coach Malone has been coaching this team and has kept them on track despite, you know, a heartbreaking injury has been really remarkable. And he absolutely deserves every ounce of praise. I think this is maybe one of the best coaching stretches we've seen from Coach Malone throughout his time with the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, 13-3 in the month of April, and like you said, overcoming the Jamal Murray injury, that says a lot about Coach Malone's leadership and about this roster, the way it's comprised right now. And it's about darn time, right? The Michael Malone win this award, so it's great that he won it, but it's been long overdue. The latest on PJ Dozier, as Coach Malone said the other night, it's like, man, we just can't catch a break here with some of these injuries. PJ Dozier suffers the hip injury the other night against the Lakers. What are you hearing in regard to PJ?
Yeah, he did get an MRI on that hip. It's looking like it's an adductor strain, I believe, is what they are saying. And, I mean, that's one of those things where it's kind of similar to a hamstring injury where it could be, 4 weeks, it could be 8 weeks. It's a very wide range of time missed. So that's a big blow. The way that PJ Dozier has been playing and the way that he has stepped up, especially among the guards for this Denver Nuggets team, and particularly defensively, especially in that second unit. I know he had been starting the last couple games, but when him and Facu Campazzo were on the floor together, I mean, that was one of the most, blustering backcourts in the NBA in terms of what they were putting on guards and making things really tough and making sure they were active and flying around. So that's one that the Nuggets are going to miss. And you think about the depth in the guard position now. And PJ spent time playing power forward this season. Obviously now with the lack of guards or healthy guards, he's playing some guard spots. Now, I mean, you have Facu Campazzo. It goes all the way down to Marcus Howard, Austin Rivers, Shaq Harrison. And these are all guys that at the beginning of the season weren't even a part of the rotation or on this Nuggets roster. And that's who the Nuggets have to turn to now to step up in those guard positions.
And you just hope for two things. Number one, it's not that serious for PJ. Number two, Monte Morris, please get healthy, get back soon.
Yeah.
They need Monte Morris right now.
Yeah, he's getting close from what I've been seeing too. I think he's going to be cleared within the next couple days. And even though he's cleared, that just means that he's cleared to do, five-on-five in live game action. So I don't know if he'll immediately be able to play in games. He'll definitely be on a minute restriction when he comes back. But I do know that Monte is getting closer. There hasn't been a whole lot of talk about Will, and that just makes me think that he's not close yet. But I think that they weren't expecting him until the playoffs anyways. And again, when it comes to hamstrings and these soft tissue injuries that the Nuggets have continually suffered, especially this season, and not even just the Nuggets, it's the entire NBA, you want to be cautious with those because they could lead to something worse. I mean, if it's just a strain, the last thing you want to do is see any of these guys tear it and be out for much, much longer periods of time. So I think they're going to play it cautious, especially with Will. I mean, and the Nuggets are they're holding their own. So at this point, it's like we don't need to rush anybody back, but it'll be great to have Monte Morris back on the floor when that does happen.
She covers the Nuggets for Altitude. Katie Wenge joins us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. The Nuggets take on the Knicks tonight. Look, for the Knicks are not the Knicks of even recent memory. It's a pretty good basketball team. Tom Thibodeau's done a great job of turning that team around. Julius Randle's played really well for them. They're fourth in the Eastern Conference right now. This is a big, tough matchup for the Nuggets tonight, taking on a Knicks team that is, like I said, certainly turned their fortunes around.
Yeah, I think they, to me anyways, they've been the biggest surprise in the NBA this season, and especially as of late. I was looking at the records between the Nuggets and the Knicks, and just in the NBA since Jamal Murray went down, and the Knicks actually have the best record in that stretch. They're 9-1. And the Nuggets are 9-2, so they're about third in the NBA. I think Washington is the only team. They just have one more win than the Nuggets do. So both these teams have been extremely hot as of late. Julius Randle has been playing phenomenal, and he's a guy that played really well against the Nuggets last time these two teams played. He had 29 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists on basically 70% shooting from the field. But I will say this, the Nuggets didn't have Aaron Gordon last time that they played the Knicks. So I'm super interested to see how Gordon matches up against Randle. I think that obviously Randle's confidence is very high right now. I did read that he even was asked about being the MVP yesterday. And we're just throwing out random names now at this point because the world just does not want to latch on to Nikola Jokic winning this MVP award in the NBA. But he even said, like, why not me? So I think his confidence is sky high. He will be a huge challenge. And then the Knicks have been so good. You mentioned Thibodeau. I mean, he came in and just basically said, we're going to play defense now. And that has made all the difference. And I've talked to a couple people within their organization, and all these guys are so bought in. I think they were just so desperate to win and to be, you know, bring basketball back to New York City that they did whatever they needed to do, and it's been paying off for them.
Katie Wingy covers the Nuggets for Altitude, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And look, with the injury to P.J. Dozier, who mentioned Monte Morris getting close but still out, that tonight, Facu Campazzo is going to get the start of point guard again. Austin Rivers is going to get probably the start tonight against the Knicks. Peyton and R.J. Barrett, that's a really good backcourt for the Knicks right now. Can Facu and Austin and some of the guys you mentioned coming off the bench, can that backcourt handle the Knicks tonight? Because this could be a real challenge. That's where the Knicks definitely have an advantage tonight with those two guys against the Nuggets backcourt.
Yeah, and I think, I've been so pleasantly surprised with Shaq Harrison and what he's been able to do, particularly defensively. So I think between him and Facu, they'll at least pester those guys enough to where they'll make them uncomfortable. I mean, Facu, I was looking at a couple of his numbers too defensively, and he's 34th in the NBA in minutes per game, but he's 8th in steals per game and 10th in deflections per game. So he makes the most defensively of the minutes that he gets for this Denver Nuggets team, and he just plays with so much heart and so much energy, and that's contagious, especially with your backcourt partner. So if he's up and getting after his guy, I think the other guard is also going to do that because he doesn't want all of his work to go to waste and just have an easy entry pass over to that other guard. So I would expect, the defense has to be good because the Knicks defense is good. And the Nuggets have continually kind of lost firepower in terms of scoring and offense. Obviously, you still have Jokic and MPJ in that regard. But you have to defend because you want to keep the score a little bit lower just so you don't have to get into a shooting battle with the New York Knicks. And they have the capabilities of doing that.
Altitude's Katie Wingy with us today on the Team Sports Network. To kind of wrap it up, first off, happy Cinco de Mayo, Katie.
You too. Yeah.
I know it's probably I'm surely really celebrated in your household, right? Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Well, I can ask you. Okay, since it is Cinco de Mayo, corn or flour tortilla? Which is your preference?
Well, I think the flour tortilla tastes better, but the corn is healthier.
Okay.
So the corn ones, they kind of fall apart a little bit.
Yeah.
If you get too much of like the juices from the salsa or the meat. So I guess if it's Cinco de Mayo and I'm celebrating and it doesn't really matter what I'm eating, I guess I'm going flour.
Going flour on that. All right. Finally, since it is Cinco de Mayo, the best number five in your opinion to ever play in sports history.
Jeez, five is a weird number.
It is, isn't it?
Can you give me a couple options?
Kevin Garnett. We'll go NBA, obviously. That's your turf. Kevin Garnett, Jason Kidd.
Kevin Garnett was 21 in Minnesota, so I never know him as a five.
Because he was, what, five with Boston, I believe. And we're kind of going at half the career. They wore that number. Let's see. Joe DiMaggio wore number five. Nicholas Lindstrom of the Red Wings wore number five. Johnny Bench, my all-time favorite, Johnny Bench.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think obviously I'm a Minnesota girl, so I love Kevin Garnett. And like you said, he wore five in Boston when he won a championship. But Joe DiMaggio is a hard one when you list guys like that to not say it's him.
That's true.
So we'll go with him.
Very good, Katie. I appreciate it. Thanks again. Always appreciate the insight. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, not a problem. Have a good day.
Take care. Katie Wenge from Altitude. Going with